Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly. Facing problems on my own, I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb all the plans you have made. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. And put me where you want. Should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me in your. So I won't be in your way. Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove in which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done, though I don't understand. The best laid plans I've made somehow always go astray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. And put me where you want. Ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep. So I won't be in your way. I need you, dear Lord, each and every single day, to keep me in your will. So I won't be in your. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way.
Boy, what a blessing. And Brother Danny's been hitting the nail on the head every night. Something that stuck out last night from Acts chapter, I believe it was 27, was he said, we let her drive. Well, if we let her drive, we'll get to church. Sometimes we'll get to church on time. Brother Danny, come and preach to us and let her drive.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, I'm not sure where I was 40 years ago. I know this. I know I was serving God. Amen. But I know where I am now. And it's a good place to be. We've certainly enjoyed the years of fellowship and the connection we've had with this church over the years. And it's always been a joy. I mean that it's been a blessing and encouragement. And we certainly thank you all for letting us come back and be with you again this year. And good fellowship time. I like the time that we stop in the midst of singing and just go around and shake hands and welcome each other and just enjoy the fellowship time. I got a feeling that's a little bit about kind of like what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Except we won't be hurried. Amen. We'll have all of eternity to just go around and shake hands and hug necks and say, good to see you, good to see you. And about a thousand years ago, we'll go by and then we'll get to say it again. Good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. But it'll never get old. Amen. And so we're thankful for that. But God sure is good to us. I've been thinking about the message today. It's amazing to me how God works and does things. I thought this week we were going to be going in another direction. And God is just pointed us in His direction, and I'd a lot rather go in His direction than mine, and so we're just going to obey Him again tonight. If you'll open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 6, Romans chapter number 6, we want to talk about sin again. We look in the Bible, and the Bible has a lot to say about sin, and let me just go ahead and say this right quick. God's not for it, okay? He's against it. We ought to be against it. Amen. And so we'll read. We're going to read the entire chapter of chapter 6 tonight and see what the Lord's got for us. If you're able to, would you please stand with us tonight? The Bible says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, listen, let me stop just a moment. We're going to start all over the verse 1 again, because I want you to pay attention. If you've got your Bible, please read along with me. Now, I don't necessarily mean you need to read out loud, okay? But I want you to read the words along with me. I want you to see what the Bible is saying. Sometimes we run over things. You know, it's like singing a song. Some of the songs we sing, and we sing, and we sing, and we sing, and we don't even realize what we're singing. We just know the song. So we just sing the words, and that's all they are to us sometimes. Honestly, they're just a bunch of words, and we like the tune, and we just sing along, you know. But if we'd stop and look at the words, see what the song is saying, we'll learn to enjoy the songs much better. It's easier to put your heart into it when you realize what it is saying. Amen. So it is with the Word of God. If we will look at what God is saying, instead of just running through the verses, let's hurry up and get through right quick and say we've read a chapter. Well, that's not much good to us, to be honest with you. We need to stop and look. So I want you to look at what God is really trying to say to us. When I say He's trying, I don't mean that He comes up short on the end of trying. It's because we won't let Him speak to our hearts. And so look at what God's saying again. Chapter 6. Romans, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now we look at these scriptures, we're not through, but we look at these scriptures, and it's as though God is telling us that we ought to be sinless. That's not what God is saying to us. He's not talking about sinless perfection here, but He's talking about living for God. He's talking about not partaking of sin, not actively being that sinner. Remember when we were lost, how that sin was just a natural thing? I mean, it just came natural, amen? If you notice little children, you don't have to teach them to lie. I didn't take the cookies. They'll lie. I mean, little bitty children. They'll cry. I mean, they'll cry even as a little bitty baby when there's not a thing wrong with them. All they want is attention. They'll make you think that there's something happening to them, that something's biting on them or doing something to inflict some kind of a pain, and they'll cry out until you pick them up. They're little liars. Now, don't get mad at me. They're little liars. Amen. I know, moms, I know you're saying, my kids don't lie. Well, they do, because they just got it from you. Amen. We have a sin problem, folks. That's what God's trying to tell us. And he's saying this ought not be a problem any longer since we are Christians. And then he goes ahead and he says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is what it comes down to. God is telling us we were servants of sin, but now we are no longer servants of sin. Hallelujah! Now, I put the hallelujah in there. I know we didn't read that, but it's there for the Christian. Amen. There's victory in Jesus. Now, what are we talking about? Over the troubles and trials of life? Certainly. Oh, over problems and situations that arise? Oh, yes. Over the devil? Yes. Over death, hell, and the grave? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. But there's also victory over sin. Praise God. Problem is, most of us just don't live like that. Then he says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, notice again, that dead here is not talking about the physical dead. It's talking about the spiritual death. We died in Jesus Christ when we were saved and baptized. Amen? We were showing his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what happened to us, wasn't it? We died, we were buried in Jesus, amen, and we rose again. And now we live forevermore. Hallelujah. So that's what he's talking about. We've been freed from sin. Verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. That means he lives forevermore. Amen. He liveth unto God. God is eternal. Verse 11, he says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, again, he's not talking about that we'll be sinless, we'll be perfect in that sense of being sinless. He's saying that we're not to let sin reign or have dominion over us any longer. Amen. And then he goes ahead and he says this in verse 13, neither yield ye your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this evening for your word. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the power that your word is and has. God, I just pray that we would realize such power, God, has been made available to us. If we will study your word and if we will apply your word, God, then we can overcome this sin problem that we have. God, we can say yes to the new nature that's within us and say no to the old nature. I pray, God, that you'd help us in this area tonight. Lord, we seemingly all struggle with this thing. Lord, I just pray tonight, God, that you'd have your will and way. Lord, if there's one here tonight that is lost, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, this would be the night that they'd come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that we Christians would, if we don't already have it, I pray we'd find victory in Jesus tonight, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in his lovely name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I need three helpers tonight. Let's see. Where's Walter? Walter in here tonight? Oh, he's in the back. Okay. I'm going to have to pick somebody here. I need to look around and see. Brother Don, would you come up here and help me? Just stand right here, please, sir. Let's see here. Nah, I don't want you. You. How about coming up here and helping us? Come on. We'll make your brother jealous. We'll use you. Yeah. Okay. Let me look around here just one more time. Come on up. You're going to get mad. Come on up. I see him over there pouting already. He's just like his dad. Except with no hair on his chin. Amen. All right. I need y'all to stand right over here. Come on over with me. You stand over here. You stand over here. You stand right here in the middle. Now, this is Adam. This is Adam. Adam is mankind. Okay? He's the human race. Now, we're going to let you be the Lord.
Thanks.
Hallelujah. Sorry, son. You're the devil. Glad your mama ain't here. She'd have hollered, amen. El devilo. Oh. Yeah, here they are. Let's say Adam is a Christian, born again. Okay? Now, he's going to listen to one or the other of these two right here. He's going to listen to what they say and he's going to obey them. First of all, well, Don, take a step out of the scene here just for a second. Now, he's out of the picture. First of all, the devil has come along in the garden, remember, and he's tempted Adam and Eve, and they have said yes. They've made themselves subjects unto the devil. They've said yes to him and obeyed him. And now Adam has gotten saved, okay? Brother Don, step back in the picture. And now Adam's going to listen to somebody. He's going to listen to one of the two. Now, he's used to hearing this voice right here, so it's going to make it kind of hard on him at first. Amen. Even though he's gotten saved now, it's going to kind of make it hard on him because he's used to listening to this voice right here. But now, he's wanting to live for God. I mean, he got saved. He's fallen in love with Jesus. Amen. I mean, he loves God and he wants to do exactly what God says. Now, let me ask, if these two have power over Adam, both of them do, which one do you think he's going to obey? Just look at him. Now, he's going to obey the one that's got the most power, or we'll put it this way, the most strength in his life. Which one do you think he's going to obey? I'd say Brother Don, wouldn't you? He's the bigger one. Sorry, devil. He's a bigger one. Amen. But you know what? You know what has made him so big in Adam's life? My friend, it's because of him feeding God in his life. In other words, reading his Bible, praying, reading his Bible and praying and living for God. and saying no to the devil and saying no. And the more he says no to the devil, listen to me, the smaller the devil gets in his life. Amen. The less hold he has on Adam. The more he says yes to God, the bigger God gets in his life. Amen. You say, no, no, Brother Dan, that's, I may not be saying it just right. But the point is, my friend, when a person just yields their life to God, God becomes the most important thing, thus being the biggest thing in their life. Amen. And so it's going to be determined upon which one Adam, we'll say it this way, which one Adam feeds in his life the most. Amen. As to which one he's going to listen to. That's the way it is with each and every one of us, folks. There's a devil that speaks to us, and there's a God that speaks to us. You say, I'm saved. I said there's a devil that speaks to us, and there's a... Brother Danny, I've been born again. I said there's a devil that speaks to us, and a God that speaks to us. Amen. And it's up to us who we listen to. God's given us that choice. Amen. He's given us that freedom that we can listen to the one and obey the one that we want to. And the problem with us is this. Most of us listen to that voice we have been familiar with most of our life. We listen to that one and we feed the devil, and the devil gets bigger and stronger and stronger and bigger in our life, to where we are almost to the point where we say, I can't help it. We say that. I can't help it. But I'm going to tell you something. I said we're almost to the point, but we're not there. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Y'all go sit down and behave. Huh? You say, well, boy, that's a childlike illustration. Well, we're children of God. And sometimes, folks, it's not the deep things we need, it's the shallow things that'll help us the most. Amen. And I'm good at preaching shallow messages. Amen. But we struggle with sin. And it's as though that we have no might against sin. I mean, sin comes along, and if it says, hey, take me home with you, we don't have a choice in the matter. Oh, I'm saved, Brother Danny, but I'm telling you, for some reason, I just seemingly can't say no to sin. You know why? Because you've not been practicing that in your life. You've been just saying yes. And you've said yes so many times now, it's hard to say that word, you know, no. Amen. We need to learn that Jesus died on the cross for us that we might have eternal life. And you know, we could add all the glory to this that we want to, because, well, there's just so much to this. The Bible calls it so great salvation. And it just gets wonderful. The more you talk about this salvation, the bigger it gets in our life. Amen? But my friend, there's an area of it that we stay away from. And that area is that God has given his Son to die on the cross for us that we might be able to say no to sin. Amen. We have failed to recognize that our victory is in Jesus Christ. It's not just victory over the hard things, as I've already said, but it's victory over sin. Now, the Bible teaches us that. All through the Bible teaches us that. That we have victory over sin. We literally, within us, now not our flesh, but the one that lives in us, has given us power to say no to the devil. Yeah. I mean, Danny Long has the power to say no to Satan. You say, oh, Brother Danny, you have no power over God. Wait just a minute. It's not me that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth through me. And through him, I have the power, because he gave me the power to say no. Read your Bible. We just read it. And we just bow down to sin. And because of that, folks, we do not live a victorious life. We said it something about it last night. Remember when we talked about, isn't it something that there's some folks that have been serving the Lord 40, 50, 60 years since 1944? Amen. been serving God all these years, and then there's some of us, and I'm not, listen to me, please understand me. Don't let the devil get in on this thing. He's already in on it, though. But don't listen to him. I'm not trying to offend you tonight and hurt your little feelings, but isn't it something that some of us can't live for God a week at a time? Amen? Isn't it something that some of us are, like I said last night, I got to say it again, but some of us are in church and we're out of church. We're in church and we're out of church. And we're in church and we're out of church. Isn't that something? And then there are others, they're in church. And they're in church. And they're in church. And they're just in church. And they're always in church. Amen. What are you saying? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the building and the body of Christ. I'm talking about in active duty, in serving the Lord. Amen. Some of us, we drop in and we drop out. We drop in, we drop out. Now, again, I'm not trying to be offensive. I can be, but I'm trying not to be. What I'm trying to do is be a help to us tonight. But there's some, my friend, that they just in. They don't know anything about getting out. They just in. I mean, you talk to them and you know by being around them that they have problems too. Those storms, like last night, those storms come up in their life just like yours. They have those storms, but they just stay faithful. They stay on board. They don't jump ship. Amen. And it looks like every time it looks like they're about to jump ship, victory comes their way. No need in jumping ship when victory's coming. Amen? Seems like every time something bad starts happening in their life, it ends up with something good going on. Boy, don't that just irritate the devil out of you? Amen? Now, you know folks like that? Yeah. And then some just seem like the bad's always coming. The bad's always coming. The bad's always coming. Why? Because those that are that way, my friend, they're the ones that drop out. They always jump ship just before victory comes. It's on its way. But just before it gets there, it's, oh, I just can't take it anymore. I just had enough. Honey, we're not going to church anymore. I've had enough of this. If you'd have just stayed faithful, it'd been like those others, victory would have come your way. But you jumped ship just before victory got there, and now you got to blame it on somebody. Well, you're sure not going to take the blame yourself, are you? No, we're not. It's the preacher. It's his rotten family. It's the membership. It's everybody else. They knew I was going through a storm. Nobody called and bothered to check on me through my storm. When was the last time you checked on somebody else through their storm? Huh? You'll learn one of these days, I hope, that you don't need everybody else checking on your storm. You've got God. And He already knows about you. As a matter of fact, He knew that you was going to have a storm before it ever got dark and cloudy. Amen. Listen, folks. God's given us a book of instructions. It's not just to walk this way, but it's how to walk this way. What are you saying? How to say no to sin? God's given us instruction. If we just had Romans in chapter number 6 tonight, there's enough instruction in here to keep us on board our ship. Amen. And to know, hey, even if the ship sinks, we're not going to. Remember, there was no one that lost their life in that storm in Acts. Amen. Why? My friend, listen to me. They believed God. They believed God. That's where our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we would listen and learn, not what Brother Danny's got to say, but what God's got to say. If we'd learn what God's got to say, folks, if we would get these truths and let them get settled deep down in our hearts and in our souls, folks, listen, our church would fill up. Why? There'd be no one exiting. Everybody would be coming in. Amen. But the problem is, some of us are babes in Christ. Of course, we've been babes for about 30, 40 years. Amen. And we're still that little baby. What's wrong? I just need attention. Amen. God wants us to grow up. Get to the point where we can say, no. And we're talking to the devil. No. That temptation comes. It needs to become an automatic thing. Listen to me. An automatic thing that when temptation comes, we turn and walk from it instead of, I know I need to turn, but I know I ought to walk away, but I'm not going to be partaker of it. Now, I know I need to walk away from it, but I wonder just how bad is it? Huh? That's the natural human part of us. But that inner man, that one called Jesus, the Holy Ghost of God that dwells within us, he says, turn. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, abstain from all appearances of evil. Anything that just, some of you tonight, there's about three of you I think of right quick, that's kind of got some kind of cold or something going on, and try to shake hands with you. And I even had some going this way. Imagine a finger, okay? You just have to play my game, my way. It's my rules, amen. My game, my rule. But they say, no, don't, because I've got something and I don't want you to have it. Wouldn't it be something if we would, okay, I mean, Brother Mike, for instance, I went back there and I wanted to shake his hand so bad. I wanted to hug his wife's neck, you know, but I had to shake hands with him. But I wanted to shake hands with him, and he did that. He did that thing to me. I don't know if he thought I was a werewolf or what, but he did that. And he said, no. And he kept sitting there just like he's sitting right now, that attitude he's got. He just kept sitting there. He did not help me shake his hand at all. And you know what? When he said, I got a cold or something going on. And I quickly said, okay, and took a step back. Amen. You say, well, where's your compassion? It's right where it belongs, in my heart. But it ain't going to catch a cold. Amen. But wouldn't it be something if we would do sin that way? That when we saw sin, we'd take a step back and even turn and run in the other direction? Do you know that God has made it possible for each and every one of us that are Christians to do that in our lives? Amen. He has given us the power through Jesus Christ to literally say no. Now, I said last night, a lot of our troubles come from bad decisions that we make. And this is one of the areas. When sin shows its beautiful picture, and it always looks good and inviting. If we could see sin the way God sees sin, we'd have no problem. It'd make us sick. If we could see, we see the results of sin, but we don't pay any attention to that. Amen. Because the results of sin shows the real picture of sin, what sin really is like. If you look at the results of sin, you're seeing what sin is really like. The devil paints us a picture, and it makes sin look real good, really appetizing. Amen? My friend, listen to me. Everything that looks good is not always good. The devil paints that picture. We look at it and we say, wow, yeah, Listen, if we'll stay close to God, God will let us see what that sin really is. And we'll want to say no, but we've got to walk with Him. Amen. I still like that old song that says, hand in hand with Jesus we walk today, hand in hand along life's way, walking thus I shall not stray. How? Hand in hand with Jesus. That's the key to this thing, folks. You can't feed the natural man and expect the spiritual man to win out. Because after a while, this spiritual man, if you keep feeding that one over there, after a while, this one over here gets weak in your life. He gets weak. And the whole time, this one is getting stronger. So then after a while, it's like I said earlier, it's, well, I just seemingly can't say no to sin. Well, you're right. Because you've muscled up sin. And you've let the spiritual man go. Amen. And that's where we are. Shall we? The question is asked in chapter 6 there in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin? And of course, God's answer is, God forbid. But should we continue in sin when we really know where it comes from? Huh? Christian, do you know where sin comes from? Listen, the Bible teaches us it came from Satan himself. Satan started sin. Yonder in heaven, the Bible tells us, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about how that the devil lifted himself up. He began to say, I'm going to ascend into heavens. I'm going to take over the throne. I'm going. As a matter of fact, let me read it to you in Isaiah chapter number 14. And verse number 12. Now I know when this setting is, but it still tells us about the sin that caused Satan to be cast out of heaven. Amen. He was a created being. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was a cherubim that was created by God, created in a perfect form. Uh-huh, that's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says, then there was found iniquity in him. Sin was found in his heart. But in verse number 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's just another title of Satan, the devil. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Look, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also up on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I mean, here's the devil. He's bragging about what he's going to do, my friend. And that's exactly what happened in heaven. Hey, pride began to swell up in his heart because the Bible says he was beautiful. He was, as a matter of fact, it says it like this. He was perfect. I believe it's in Ezekiel. The Bible says he was perfect in his beauty. Not perfect being. He sinned and lost that perfection, but he was perfect in his beauty. He thought, he got to thinking, I am more beautiful than any other creature that God has. Well, as a matter of fact, I believe I'm more beautiful than God himself. So I'm going to take over heaven. That was his intention, still is. He still believes he's going to take over heaven, you know. Amen. But my friend, listen to me. We won't go ahead and finish those verses there in Isaiah, but if you'll read them, I believe it'll make you want to shout when you realize he's going to be thrown down into the pit and he's going to end up being just what he is. What's that? Nothing. Amen. But he's bragging and boasting and that pride is swelling up in his heart as to who he is. Look with me in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 12, I believe it is. Revelation chapter number 12. Bible says in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 7. Revelation 12 and 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You've heard that. You've heard that a third of the angels, the Bible gives us an account of that in Scripture, that there was a third of the angels that followed Satan. And they said, we're going to be right with you. And oh, the old devil, he began to say he's going to take over. And the angel said, yes, 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 you go, Satan. See, that title was a good title in those days. Amen. Yonder in heaven, it was a good name to be given. But now all we think of it, when someone says Satan, the devil, that old dragon, we automatically say, ooh, and our skin crawls. Why? Because of who that person is, the devil. My friend, listen to me. Sin began as rebellion against God. Do you know why God hates sin so much? Even today, because it's still, listen to me, in our day and time, it's still a sign of rebellion. When we don't have to say no to God, we just go ahead and do what the devil says. My friend, have you ever heard somebody, they want to cut you down? You know what I mean, put you down. But they'll say this. Now, don't take this personal. I remember pastoring. Somebody would come and tell me, Brother Danny, our family is leaving the church. I don't want you to take this personal. It has nothing to do with your preaching, but we just don't get fed. And I've known for a long time they're not getting fed. I mean, it's hard to force feed an adult. Amen? I mean, some adults are sitting there when you're up preaching and they're going, and you're preaching the word, trying to get it down their throats into their heart, and they're going, You say, now, Brother Danny, I've never seen anyone do that. I'll tell you how they do it. I'm sitting on the pew. Here's how us adults do that. Babies do that, you know. And if you ever get it in their mouth, they go, bleh. But us adults, we don't do that. We sit there and go, who does he think he is? I don't have to pay attention. That's his opinion, you know. That's the same thing as going, amen. And we do that, my friend. The whole time, God is trying to feed us. But I don't want you to take that personal, you know. Really, we say that. People will say that to you. How can you not take it personal? You know what? Listen to me. We're saying to God, now God, don't take this personally. I know you don't want me to sin, but don't take it. I love you, Lord. You know I love you with all my heart. But I want to play around with sin a little while. Don't take it personal. When God said, he wouldn't say it this way, but this is Alabama talk. You idiot. Amen. God's more compassionate than that, okay? You idiot. What do you mean? Don't take it personal. I gave my son to die on the cross of Calvary for you. And you dare tell me to not take it personal when I watched my son bleed. Hey, wait just a second. I watched him as he came to earth, and as he was born out there in that stable. They didn't even have room for him in the inn. They put him in a stable. I watched all of that because I love you. I watched as he grew and folks would make fun of him because of his holiness. Amen. I watched as he grew up and as they begin to tell lies about him. And they had that court that day where they came in with false accusations against him. I watched all of that. You're telling me to not take it personal? I did all of that for you. And then I watched as they led him away as a criminal. And there they began to pluck his beard. I stood by and watched. I didn't have to. But it was personal with me because you were lost. And you had no way of getting to heaven. And I took it personal. And I said, I'll send my son to die for you. How can we say, God don't... You say, well, I've never said that. No, but we're the same as, because we want to dabble in sin. But I love God. You know what you're saying when you say that? Listen, you know what you're saying? You're saying, don't take it personal, God. I love you. You're saying, don't take it personal, God. I just want to do... You're saying, don't take it personal. I hope we can't sleep tonight. I pray that God would burn these words in our ears and in our heart, that every time sin shows up in my life, every time sin shows its ugly face, I see myself saying, don't take it personal, God. And then I look at that sin, and it breaks my heart. I hope God does that for Danny Long. God says, they plucked his beard, and I watched. They smote him on the cheek with the palm of their hands. They took that reed, and they hit him over the head with it. After they'd placed the crown of thorns there, driving those thorns down into his brow. I watched as they took him and they nailed him to a cross. Tell me to not take it personal. I did it because I'm a personal God. And to me, you and I, our relationship is personal. And I watched as they lifted that old cross up. I watched as my son was on that cross, as it went down in that hole and there was a thud. I watched as his flesh was being torn. I watched as they made fun of him, gave him vinegar to drink when he said, I thirst. That shows the vileness of mankind. Don't take it personal. I watched as he bled and died. Why did he bleed and die? Because it's personal between us and you. Amen. And I watched as they took him off of that cross. They placed him in the tomb and had no regard for who he was. For they were afraid somebody was going to come and steal his body. They didn't even realize that he is the Son of God. They wouldn't even make note of that. And they put a watch over him like he was just some common, ordinary, everyday individual that died. And they didn't want anybody to steal the body away, so they put a watch over it. You telling me not to take it personal? When that was my son, the only begotten Son of God. Oh, my friend, listen to me. When we say, I just can't say no to sin, we're saying, don't take it personal, God. God's shaking his head. It's very personal with me. It's very personal with me. Young people, you need to remember this. It's personal with God because he's personal with you. Amen. Everything that bothers us bothers God. You know why? Because he's a personal God. Every little problem we have is just like the major problems in our life. God's always there giving attention to our needs. He's there to see us through the storms when the wind is just barely blowing. And he's there when the winds are just whipping and tearing things apart in our life. He's still there. Why? Because he's a personal God. Shall we continue in sin? Listen, sin began as rebellion in heaven. There was war in heaven. We just read that about in Revelation chapter number 12, how that the war broke out there because of the rebellion in the devil's heart. Then we find the first sin upon the face of the earth was when the devil spoke to Eve there in the garden, and he lied to her. And he said, God said, he said, you will surely die and not die. And God had said, you shall die. And the devil says, thou shalt not die. He just added a not in there. Because he knew he was talking to not heads. Amen. Folks that just would not pay attention to what God says. We just got to listen to what the devil say. Hey, who knows? Who knows? This time it might turn out good. Who are we fooling? We need to know who the devil is. Remember, the Bible says this about the devil. He's the father of all lies. You know what that means? He's number one at lying. There is no truth in him. None whatsoever. You say to Brother Danny, he said part of the scripture, and it was, you know, part of it was right. Oh, ho, ho, listen to me. How much poison does it take to make a glass of water poisonous? One drop or 10 drops? Just one little drop. You drop a little bit of cyanide in a bottle of water, my friend, listen, one drop's the same as pouring the whole little container in there. It'll kill you. Amen. So it is with lies. All it takes is just one little word here and there, and it changes the whole truth into a lie. Amen. That's what's wrong with these perversions that they're putting out today. They're changing a word here and there. Just a little word. It don't change the meaning, they say. Well, my question is, why did you change it then? Huh? Isn't that kind of on the dumb side? This is yes. This is no. Amen. That's kind of on the dumb side. I want one of them other Bibles. It changes the words around. Why? So you can better understand it. No, my friend, the problem is not us understanding it. The problem is we don't want to abide by it. Amen. Shall we continue in sin when we know its history? We know the history of sin, my friend. Some histories are good. You study the histories of some things, you know, and I've never been a history buff, and there will not be any more history buffs. Didn't you know that? History buff means someone that really studies history, gets into history. There will not be any more. Amen. And because they're not teaching history anymore. And the history you read nowadays is falsified. They have changed history. They have, instead of writing history, they have begun to rewrite history and make it come from where they want it to come from. But if you look at true history, some of it is very intriguing as you read about the way that governments were established and how they came along. For instance, that government that comes to my mind of, the United States of America. Amen. How soon we forget, huh? It is amazing that, according to history, that the United States of America was founded upon one nation under God. Amen. I mean, everything was set up according to there is a God in heaven. Amen. All of our laws used to be, before executive order came along, all of our laws, my friend, they came from the Word of God. They were based on the Ten Commandments. Amen. Now, I think that's great. Amen. But the problem is we've gotten away from it. But when you look at history, but I'm going to tell you, not all histories are good. Some of them are dark and dreary. When we look at the history of sin, it is dark and it started out wrong. It is wrong and it'll end wrong. Amen. The last verse that we read there in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 26, is it? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's the beginning of sin. The wages, my friend, is what you get for the work you've put into life. Amen? In other words, the way you've lived in this world, if you've died without Jesus Christ, you're going to get paid for the life you've lived. And if you gotten saved and live for Christ, you're still going to get paid. But the difference in the payment scale is the wages of sin is death. Now that death is not just talking about physical death. It's talking about a spiritual death, a death being separated from God Himself throughout all eternity. That's what it's referring to. And those that have lived a sinful life without Jesus Christ, my friend, that's going to be their payment for their sin. For their good time they've had here on earth. I want to say this to you. If you're here lost tonight and you have decided you're going to stay lost and you do not want Christ as your Savior, you just definitely have decided, I refuse to accept Christ as my Savior. I don't want any part of Him. Then if I were you, I'd get up right now. I'm being honest. I'd get up right now and I'd run out the door and I'd go out there and I'd jump right into sin with both feet and I'd start living it up, enjoying as much sin as I possibly could in this life, because after this life there will be no kind of enjoyment for you whatsoever. No more fun after this life. So you better just go ahead and there's no need. Listen, church members, if that's all you are, is just a church member, not a Christian, I don't know why you want to waste your time straddling the fence, trying to pretend you are, knowing that you're not. Man, you got to be miserable. And your misery is just going to get worse. So if I were you, I'd jump up and run out, jump right into sin with both feet. You say, preacher, where's your compassion? Are you not getting the point? if you don't want to live that life of sin and get paid for it, then you ought to keep your seat, or better than that, you ought to get up and run, but not out that way, but run this way and get down before God and say, God, please forgive me of my sins and save my soul. Amen. And God will save you. Amen. And my friend, it may get a little worse down here for a little while, but to be honest with you, as a child of God, as a real child of God, my friend, it ain't half bad. We get talking about how bad in the last days, perilous times. I mentioned it last night, and it's true. But in the last days, perilous times shall come. Oh, it's getting so bad. It's getting so terrible. Glory to God, hallelujah. You say, what's wrong with you, Brother Danny? I know these things must come to pass before the Son of God comes. Amen. Amen. So even though it's a getting bad, it sure is a looking good. Amen. Shall we continue in sin when we know its history, how it began as darkness and disobedience toward God, and it's always been and it still is and it will be? My friend, I mean, when we look at the history of sin, look at people that got wrapped up and involved in sin. Just quickly, let's look at Lot. The man called Lot, remember, he's there at the gate, that wicked city Sodom. And there he is. He has risen in the ranks, if you will, excuse me. And he's got high position in this world. I said in this world. And he's become as one of the Sodomites himself. For folks listened to what he had to say. He got so wicked in his sin. You see, sin has a way of enticing you to come in. And it's not going to be all that bad. It's really not going to be all that bad. But it's got a way of getting you to come in, and then it starts getting worse and worse. But the bad thing is, you're caught up on the inside of sin and you don't realize how bad it's getting until it's too late. Lot was drawn into this sin. All of a sudden, when the angels come, you remember, the Bible says he offered to the men of that city his daughters that had never known man. Virgins. Pure young ladies. He said to those men of that wicked city, you can have them to do with whatever you please. Just don't touch these men. He offered his daughter. I'm sorry. You might say, well, he was so spiritual that... Let me tell you something. I know a little bit about angels. They have power that God has given to them. I would say, men, angels, I know that you're holy, but those are my daughters. You can take care of yourself. My job is to take care of my daughters. Now, I may be wrong in that, but I don't think so. Amen. I believe the angels could have handled them. As a matter of fact, they're going to handle them in a little while anyway. But he had lost all that purity within himself was gone, if you will. He had no regard for his own children. Kind of like men and women today. For their own children, they have no regard for them. They'll sell them. They'll do all kinds of manner of things. Abuse them. One way they abuse them, just walk off and leave them. Amen. No regard for their children. Why? I tell you why. What's happened? Sin. And then it came down to Lot sleeping with his own daughters. And they were found with child by their own father. Wickedness. Do you think when Lot went to that city that that was his intentions? No. No. If someone had said to him, Lot, listen to me, I want you to watch this movie. It's a movie of your life, and this is what's going to happen. If they'd have showed it and it would have been documented, this was actually going to happen, I believe Lot would have run from that city. But the sad thing is, he knew better anyway. He was the nephew of Abraham. He knew better. Lot was a saved man. You read your New Testament, and it vexed his soul. The sin ate at him. And ate at him and troubled him. Amen. but he got caught up in it. And then when he realized what had happened, it was too late. He'd already got caught in it. What are you saying? The history of sin? And it hasn't changed. I look at David. We're not going to go through all these folks' names, but I look at David. He got caught up in sin. At a time, the Bible says, when kings go to war, David stayed home. He's slack. You know what he's saying? Listen to me. It's time for kings to go to war. And he's saying, God, don't take this personal, but I'm going to stay here. Don't take it personal, God. And it broke the heart of God. And God said, David, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to let you get caught in your sin. Amen. And David got caught up in his sin. And the sword never left David's house. His family became as though they were heathens, though they were God's children. Amen. I mean, they killed one another. They committed sex things with one another. All manner of things happened within David's family because of his sin. The history of sin, we could go to the New Testament and we'll find it. The history of sin, my friend, it's dark and dreary. Why? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we go get up tonight, men and women, boys and girls, shall we get up tonight and walk out the door and say, God, don't take this personal, but I just want to live in the world a little bit more? Are we going to do that? Are we going to be that way, my friend? The Bible says, God forbid. God says, I'm against that. I forbid that to happen. Don't let it happen. I've made a way of escape. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Oh, we could go on with the message tonight and probably should. We just get so weary with it, we can't even think straight. Because, my friend, most of us don't think straight anyway, honestly. We just go ahead and dabble in sin. Because, after all, if it does hurt anyone, it'll only be me. Lot's whole family was destroyed by sin. David's whole family was destroyed by sin. On and on the history goes. No, it's not just you that sin eats at. It upsets everybody else. Your sin will gnaw at everybody else till it gets a bite of them. Amen. Shall we continue in sin? The Bible says, God forbid. Let's all stand tonight. Everyone standing, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, Lord, I am upset. I'm mad tonight because I know what sin has done in my life. God, I'm talking about since I've been saved. Lord, I've not been perfect by any means. But Lord, there's been times when, God, I've just said, Lord, don't take it personal, but I want to. And Lord, I did what I wanted to do. Sounds like what we read tonight in the book of Isaiah about the devil when he said, I. Lord, I find myself sometimes listening to that familiar voice from the past. When, Lord, it ought to be the voice of a stranger now, for I ought to never listen to it. And then it would become that voice of a stranger. God, help me that it would be. God, help me that I would say no to sin and flee from it.